Hello, you're listening to a special edition of Career Conversations, a series that's part of the Food Matters Live podcast. It's special because we recorded it in front of a live studio audience as part of our Inspiring Careers in Food event. I'm Alicia Roche, a chef and food journalist, and together we'll meet experts in cooking, mixology, the environment, psychology, branding, social media, and all sorts, as we learn about the surprisingly varied roles that go way beyond the kitchen. On this pod, I'm meeting Jamie Keeble, who is co-founder of much-loved sausages brand Heck. He grew up in a family sausage-making business, and he was brilliantly honest in this pod, admitting that school wasn't really ideal for him, but even a B in business studies A-levels didn't stop him from becoming the very successful entrepreneur he is today. I walked away full of admiration for Jamie and his family after our chat. He is bloody hard-working, and he has done it all while facing adversity in his own health. More on that later. For now, settle in and enjoy the podcast. So, Jamie Keeble, you are the co-founder of Heck. Should we describe that as a sausage brand?
A sausage brand or a food brand. We've diversified away from sausages over the years, so we don't just do bangers anymore. And but we're famous for the bangers.
You're famous for sausages. And let's first of all say happy sausageversary, because as far as I know, this is like 10 years since you started?
10 years, yeah. So just over. We first launched into Tesco's back in April 2012, so just over.
Wow. Did you think you'd be going for that long when you first started?
No, I didn't really. Well, I guess in the back of your mind, you always hope to go that long, but you sort of just take every day as it comes, really. You don't really look that far ahead.
Yeah.
As you say, we now make so many different kind of products. I mean, we just stuck to sausages when we first launched. We never thought we'd be making burgers or even vegan sausages now. Yeah. That wasn't even on the plan, so it's crazy how things have just evolved over time.
And you come from a long line of farmers and sausage makers, is that right?
Yeah, so farming has always been in my family history since before I can remember. My parents have been in the food industry for nearly 30 years as well, so it was natural that I'd follow, either go in the farming footsteps or the food production, so I chose food production.
So did your parents have a sausage brand? What did they do?
They did, actually. Well, going back to the very beginning, they were pig farmers. And
this is up in Yorkshire?
This is up in Yorkshire, near Maston, if you've ever heard of it, sort of in the middle of nowhere.
Hands up who knows beautiful North Yorkshire. Anyone? Oh, yeah. What a lovely part of the world. Yeah,
there's more sort of livestock than people up there, to be honest with you. It's it's very, very rural.
So this is what you grew up around?
Yes, yeah, lots of green hills, lots of sheep and cows. So, not big places like this. But no, they were pig farmers originally. It was a very, very tough sort of industry to be in. Livestock management is so tough. It's 7 days a week. It's full on. Mm. But there was no real money in it for them. And one day, my parents wanted to take, there's four siblings, so I've got two brothers and a sister, and they wanted to take us on holiday and thought, well, we're not going to make enough money just from livestock farming, so we thought, let's have a go at making sausages.
Okay, and were you already making, or were they already making some homemade sausages for you?
Yeah, they sort of knew how to do it, but on the kitchen table, really, not on a sort of wide-scale production facility, so they kind of learnt on the job.
And then they turned that into a bona fide business?
They did, yeah, so very small business. We rented a little unit up in Thirsk in North Yorkshire, and we were just doing sort of markets and farmers markets and shows and things like that, really.
So when you look back at the sausages they were making, were they quite traditional flavours?
Yes, very traditional, so your standard sort of pork sausage, really, nothing exciting.
And did you have a go at making them yourself then, or were you too young at
this stage? I can always remember when I was very young, being around the kitchen table, in the early hours of the morning, helping my parents sort of pack sausages on the kitchen table, really. So I do have a memory of that. So I've always been around it. And I always used to do the markets and things like that as well. I love doing it.
But then when I think of Heck, and I'm sure lots of people here have seen it on supermarket shelves, we were saying earlier when we met what a lovely, bright, colourful brand it is. It really stands out on the shelf compared to other sausage brands that look quite traditional. How did you get into launching your own sausage brand? And why so out there?
I know I sort of had a bit of a break from the food industry when I was about 19 and 20, and I sort of did a completely different sort of career change. I wanted to learn how to sail boats. I wanted to work on super yachts and sort of live the life, as it were.
Like so Below Deck?
Yes, almost like that, yeah. But I never really got that far. So I spent a year learning how to sort of sail boats in the English Channel during during the winter time as well, which isn't very fun. I don't recommend it. So I did that. Then it just wasn't for me really. I think I wanted something a bit more sort of grounded and closer to family. And I think you've got to try these things, right? You have to sort of break out. And no, I stuck to what I know really. And when we launched Heck, at the time the category was sort of very dark and traditional and sort of farmhouse feel really on the shelf. And gluten-free wasn't a big thing back then. It is now. Everything you eat is pretty much gluten-free.
Yeah.
And we were the first sausage brand to launch with a gluten-free brand. And then why Heck? We had to do something that was big and bold, and it's more of an attitude sort of thing as well. So Heck means what the heck, give it a go. So it's more of an attitude feel.
Is it a Yorkshire thing to say Heck?
They say that, say, I'll buy Heck's a Yorkshire phrase, but it's got nothing to do with that really. It's sort of like, what the heck?
Okay, it's more American. Really.
It's more American, yeah. Heck, yeah. And we launched with every colour of the rainbow as well, so the packaging is all bold and bright.
It's lovely, yeah.
And we launched with a chicken sausage as well, which was unheard of at the time as well.
Not because I'm biased or anything, but by chance I had some Heck chicken sausages last night. Absolutely delicious. And I was really surprised to see how healthy they are. They're like really low fat and good for you.
Yeah. So that was a market that we first tapped into really. So the sort of gym bunnies and the fitness That's and the right. dieters and all that stuff. Yeah. So yeah, we had massive following from that. We still do, really loyal following. And gluten-free as well. So we made everything we produce is gluten-free. So the Celiac Society really got behind us early on as well. So really, really loyal following.
So when you had the brand up and running, how many sausage types did you launch with? Was it just one or two, or did you go big already?
We first launched into Tesco's. We had three flavours. So we had Heck 97, which is 97% pork shoulder. We had a Chicken Italia, which is sun-dried tomato, garlic and mozzarella. And we launched with a square sausage as well. We called it Fair and Square.
A square sausage?
Yeah, it's like a burger but square.
Okay.
Pork burger. And they were the three flavours that we launched with in Tesco's.
And now the range is huge. I mean, you're doing nuggets, dippers, sausages, all sorts of things.
Yeah, I think innovation is a huge part of our business, and it's something we can really sort of be proud of, really. We've done a lot of stuff to sort of innovate the category. So, again, a sausage nuggets or a sausage dipper. Got into chicken burgers as well. Chicken mince, this is a great little thing we've developed over the last 12 months. Seasoned chicken mince, so it's really simple. You have your chicken mince already seasoned. All you have to do is add a tin of tomatoes. You've got fantastic bolognese. So that kind of stuff we're really ahead of the curve of.
Who comes up with all the funny names for your sausages? Because I quite like how you've got like limited edition sausages.
Yeah, well, we've learned actually over the years not to be too clever. You know, you need to keep things kind of simple, because if you've gone out there with a funny name, people don't really understand what it is. You need to, because you know, the consumer's only looking at the shelf for a split second, so you need to sort of really entice them and make it simple as well. Don't overcomplicate packaging. You need to keep it really, really simple. But yeah, going with funny names, that's something we've tried and hasn't worked really.
Oh, really? Because on bonfire night or around bonfire night, I see that you've got Guy Porks sausages, which
Guy
made
Porks,
me giggle.
Which is funny. But that's we do those as a sort of special promotion around the time, really, and they do really well. That's kind of sort of the funness of the brand, really. We can do gimmicky stuff like that, which is good.
Let's think back to when you were a student, when you were at school. How was school for you, and did you think you would end up following in your parents' footsteps and going into this kind of business?
Well, I had no idea what I wanted to do at school, to be honest with you. I mean, I never went to university, so I'm not a great advert to, you know, for university
wrong with
and all that stuff, really. No, I struggled at school, to be honest with you. I think I was always afraid to put my hand up, really, and sort of ask for help, really, which was a great shame. If I'd known that back then, I probably would have gone further into education maybe and went to university, but at the time I couldn't wait to get home, to be honest, when I was at school. I wasn't a massive fan of it. I mean, I excelled at sports and things like that. I could get stuck into. I love food, food as well, my food lessons, and history I was a great fan of, but everything else I really struggled with.
And what were your parents like with you in terms of your education? Were they wanting you to finish it off and go to uni, or were they quite
my mum
free and easy?
Is incredibly intelligent. She's one of the smartest people I know, and she went to university, and she's really, really clever. And my dad, on the other hand, probably left school about 12, just never went. So yeah, he's always like, oh, you don't need to go to school, you just need to get to work and, you know, do a bit of hard graft and it'll be fine, because he loves doing stuff the hard way, he loves to graft. And my mum was always really trying to push me to, you know, stay at school, because it's always something to fall back on. So I kind of did a bit of both. I sort of left school after my A-levels, so got a couple of decent A-levels, but never went to university.
I don't think there's anything wrong with it. And I think as much as we're encouraging you to all finish your studies, of course, I also want to say that I didn't finish my degree. It turned out all right. I think don't be scared if you're not enjoying your studies to swap degrees or have a, you know, stop, press pause and think about what you want to do with your life. With HEC, was there a moment when you thought this brand is starting to take off?
I don't think... To be honest with you, when we first got our listing into Tesco's, we were blown away with the response and how successful it first was. But when you get a listing in a retailer, that's when the hard work begins. You know, we always say getting the listing is the easy part. Making it work on shelves is the hard part. So we always keep that sort of mentality really with everything we do. So we're really humble, to be honest with you. There's never champagne popping moments at work at all, really. It's just, you know, we've got to watch sales all the time, making sure we're doing well on our performance and tracking waste levels. So yeah, that's sort of the daily thing for me really at the moment.
I mean, you say getting the listing was easy, but I think a lot of people here who might at the back of their mind be thinking, I'd quite like to try and set up my own food or drinks business. Yeah. How do you even get those first meetings with the buyers?
Very difficult, to be honest with you. It's a lot of knocking on doors, it's a lot of pestering people. I found pestering people always works. So eventually they give in and they will see you. And then when it comes to sort of presenting to retailers, it's quite a daunting thing, really. It's challenging, really. I've always had to learn on the job, really, of how to present to people. And no one's ever taught me how to do these things, really. But you've got to believe in the product you're selling.
Yes.
And that will come across in any meeting. As long as you believe in the brand and the product, that always comes across well. And that's the most important thing.
So did you have any contacts with suppliers because of what your parents had been doing, or was it all kind of like cold calling?
No, not at all, because buyers, it's a very short game. I mean, my sausage buying Tesco's, for example, is only around for about 18 months and they shift up to a different category. So the role's always changing retailers, so people always gone and they're switching retailers, and yeah, they like to get to move around a lot. So.
And now you're in a few supermarkets, aren't you?
We're in everywhere apart from Marks and Spencer's, and that's only because they don't do sort of branded offerings in the chilled meat category. We'd love to, though.
When I think about your sausages, like I said earlier, I find them quite healthy, and I think there's a misconception that sausages are all high cholesterol, meaty, fatty. What is changing in sausage world? Like, what's next?
I think, you know, the sausage world kind of went really sort of healthy and lean, and, you know, low fat's been a massive thing as well. But I think now sort of taste and flavour is the key driver in the sausage category. I think everyone really wants, I mean, we've got lots of competitors, a lot of brand new competitors who went down that tunnel, really, of how to get more healthier, low calorie. But I think fundamentally, everything we produce has got to taste good. And the way we do that is we do a lot of shows and sampling events, so we get the confidence to go to retail and present it, and we know it will work on shelf. Not all the time, though.
No, your sampling is fantastic. I know this because I used to be a chef and then I became a food editor. Mm. And when I was doing food editing on magazines, your PR company were always sending me HEC sausages, lots of deliveries.
Yeah, that's something we do really well as well. So our marketing team's all in-house. We don't outsource anything. All our product development's done in-house as well. So we keep it all very close. So we've got complete control.
Very generous.
Yeah.
Now, we've mentioned a few times while we've been doing these talks about how flexitarianism is taking off. People who are perhaps not totally veggie or totally vegan, but they want to eat more plant-based. You've also mentioned on your website, for HEC, climatarians. Climatarians? So what are they?
So, sort of more like flexitarian as well. I think it's a funny one, really, because we have a range of flexitarian products which are sort of healthily balanced with veg and meat. Mm-hmm. And it's a new category which Tesco's are trialling at the moment. My thoughts on it, people are going to either eat meat or they don't for the meal occasion. Mm-hmm. I think that's roughly how it's going to work. People are actually trying to reduce to eat meat, which is great. But then again, everyone likes a sausage. You know, it's trying to get that sort of fine balance, really. And vegan is making a lot of noise, but it's very, very small market at the moment. There's
really
a lot of brands, a lot of competitors moving in that space, but in terms of the actual eye of the prize, it's fairly small compared to meat at the moment. So it's definitely something that we have to be involved with. I think as the years go on, let's say another decade, I think it'll look a bit different, but for now I think meat's definitely here to stay.
Straw poll, how many people here are vegan? Hands up, please. 1, 2. See, I would have thought it'd be more.
Yeah,
I'm really surprised.
Yeah, you'd think so, wouldn't you?
Yeah.
But, no, because of all the noise and social media and all that kind of stuff.
So hands up, who loves a meaty sausage? That's everybody, yeah. Pretty much. You've also branched out into vertical farming.
Yeah.
What's that and why is it important?
It's important to watch food miles. We import roughly about 5 tons of basil a year from the south of Spain, which is a hell of a lot. That's a long way to go. Yeah. So we thought, you know, we use a lot of basil in our chicken Italian sausages. So we thought we should maybe grow our own basil. But the only way to do that is in a vertical farm. So this is something we're trialling at the moment. At the moment, we've got one container outside our factory, which is growing basil daily. At the moment, it's enough to feed probably the canteen and the staff, so not on a mass production scale, but this is something we really want to invest in the future, and we think it's definitely going to take off.
Oh, I bet your staff meals are fantastic. How many people do you employ now-ish?
On the books, we've got roughly about 150 people. That's including production, finance, marketing, sales. But roughly on sites, daily, there's about 80 people.
And is it always heck for lunch?
We try to. Yeah, it's bangers and mash is definitely on. I think it's every Monday we do bangers and mash. Mm-hmm. And then we'll do other heck products the rest of the week as well.
So your journey to get here has had its ups and downs. For anybody here who really wants to try their hand at getting into the food and drinks business, perhaps setting up their own small brand with a view to it getting bigger, what advice do you have for them?
Look and see if your product or brand is offering a niche to the market and look for the gaps and the opportunities. Fundamentally, what you've got to be producing has to be great. So trialling your products at small markets and festivals is definitely the right way to go about it. And then the branding is the most key important thing. So if you want to go for retail, making sure your product stands out on shelf is key. We're very lucky actually, because the time when we launched, it was a very dark and gloomy sort of fixture, and we came in with every colour of the rainbow. And if you'll see on the shelf now, you'll probably recognise now how many brands use different colours to stand on the shelf. So we just got the timing right, I think. We're very, very lucky.
So when you thought about how your packaging was going to look, how did you know, did you have a very strong idea yourself, or did you go to a company and they came up with it?
No, we used a company called Elmwood, who are based everywhere. I think they've got offices in London and in Australia, and they had an office in Leeds. Mm-hmm. So they helped us develop the brand. So this took a process of about 2 months, actually, sort of learning about myself and the business as well, and what we wanted it to be. And they came up with Heck, and it just made sense. And we're very lucky and very grateful for the work they did.
So it wasn't a case of you doing a doodle on a notepad and going, something like this, please?
No. We've got my wife here actually sitting back there, and she works in the business.
Welcome, lovely and, to have you here.
Funny enough, she designs all the packaging, so...
You're the genius behind the brand.
She is. Not the full brand, but all the new flavours we come up with and all the new packaging concepts she does as well, so and she's got a degree, so yeah, there's definitely a reason to stay into university.
A good balance.
That's a good way to get into the food business. Be good at graphic designing.
Have you picked up any famous fans of Heck along the way?
Yeah, the odd tweet from I think Nigella Lawson. She was a great fan of our square sausage when we first launched it, and we've done lots of any bit of PR or any bit of TV work that comes about, we grab with two hands. Because, you know, it's just free advertising, isn't it? And we've done so many TV programs. We did Greg Wallace last year. What else have we done? Foodies, or whatever it's called, on Channel 4. And we always get the BBC News coming in as well. So any opportunity to get PR, just take it. You've just got to make the most of it. And actually, the first program we did was something called The Fixer, if you've ever heard of that.
The Fixer.
Probably not. This was about... God, 6 or 7 years ago. It's the hotel inspector lady. Do you know?
Yeah, remember
what I mean?
Her. Yeah.
Alex Polizzi. Yeah. She came around and she basically told me that I was complete numpty. I didn't know how to run a business.
Oh, how rude. However,
making yourself look like a prat for an hour on BBC Two is worth it when 5 million people watch that programme. A lot of them buy sausage the next day as well. So definitely don't shy away from any sort of media opportunity.
So do you enjoy that side of things now, putting yourself... centre of the brand?
Enjoy it. Yeah, I do a little bit because I know it helps the brand. So if you've always got, if it's going to help sell more sausages, of course.
Yeah.
So you've always got it in the back of your mind. But it doesn't come naturally. Absolutely not. Speaking to you guys now, it's not a natural thing for me to do at all.
I say he's doing a pretty great job.
Yeah.
Does it feel tricky trying to cater to everyone? Because you do sell vegan sausages, flexitarian sausages, and then you've got your very meaty meat lovers. Mm. Can you please everybody?
No, you can't, but we want to. And that's why we've gone into all those different categories. You know, pleasing everybody is never going to be something we could do, because we're a meat company, right? Producing vegan sausages can be frowned upon from the sort of diehard vegans and all that kind of stuff, really. So, but we've always got this sort of stance that we make great food for everybody, and that sort of ticks all the boxes. So it doesn't matter if you're a vegan or flexitarian or a meat lover, we make sausages for you.
Now, I hear, and I'm part of the food industry, that the food industry is very welcoming and collaborative and everybody's very friendly. I'm wondering, is it quite competitive in Sausage World?
It is. Yeah, like any category, really. We know with, you know, our main branded competitors. We're lucky, actually, because in branded premium sausages, we own 60% of the market, which is a great chunk to own, and all the other brands are sort of fighting amongst themselves, really. But we've always got an eye over our shoulder, really, because, you know, there's always a brand trying to knock you off your mantle, really. So we've got to stay ahead of the curve, making sure we're reasonably priced on the shelf as well, which is key, especially in the climate we're living in at the moment with inflation, which has probably been the trickiest 12 months I've ever faced in food at all. Especially, and there's always something in food production, there's always something, whether it be the price of pork or chicken or staff problems or whatever, but when it's everything at once like it is now, it is so challenging, it really is.
Well, like you said at the beginning of our chat, farming that you came from was such a difficult industry anyway. It's hard life, isn't it?
It is, it's a very hard life.
You've come down from Yorkshire to London today. Do you get to travel much as part of your job?
I do. During lockdown, it was very frustrating because everything's over Teams and speaking to customers, and you just want to be face-to-face because you get so much more done in half an hour on a face-to-face than on an hour over a screen. But now I spend most of my time on the road. And yesterday I was down in Welwyn Garden where Tesco's head office is. I've only really come down to London to see Sainsbury's, who are based in Holborn, Amazon around the corner as well. So, yeah, I kind of only come down here to see customers, to be honest with you, and then I'm straight back on the train back north.
It's a beautiful Yorkshire. How do you feel about social media? Does it help your brand? Do you love it, hate it? What's your relationship?
I love it and hate it at the same time. Without social media, I don't think we would be where we are. Again, we launched back in 2012, and that's when Instagram was kind of becoming kind of popular as well. Mm-hmm. So we've got a decent following, about 80,000 followers on Instagram. I'm very proud of it, and it's great, really, because it's almost like customer service, and you get real sort of brand love for it as well. So it's very, very important. And we've got a dedicated team back up north who do all that stuff, and they're amazing.
The social gang.
Yeah.
So are you on TikTok with Heck?
We are. We do a lot of TikToks, yeah, silly dancing, all that stuff. And
oh, you do?
Funny
great.
Recipe videos and all that stuff. It's really, really important. And we've had some great success on that, actually. I don't really get involved with TikTok too much, really, but yeah.
I've only just joined. I'm so behind the times. You have a good social enterprise aspect to what you do, and I know that you've done lots of charity campaigns over the years.
Yeah.
One of them on your website is featured, it's prostate cancer.
Mm.
Why was that particularly important to you?
My grandfather died of prostate cancer, and I had testicular cancer actually back in 2016. So not prostate, but testicular cancer, which is quite difficult actually, but I caught it early.
Mm.
So yeah, they took one testicle off, literally chopped it out, and they put a fake one in.
Mm-hmm.
And about six weeks later, I was back on the road. So I was very lucky, actually. I had one round of chemotherapy. So raising awareness for these kind of illnesses is very important to us. And as a brand, I think we've got a responsibility and a platform to do that. So we can do so much stuff on pack as well. So we can raise money for charity on pack and donate time out of the sales to charity, which is a great thing to do.
Isn't it amazing? You can never judge a book. You look so healthy and robust. And
I know, it's very strange.
I felt
myself as always being quite a healthy guy, but it doesn't work like that. Yeah.
Is there a lot of misconception about what you do, about how animals are treated in the meat industry?
Mm.
What drives you mad?
I think so. I think there's a lot of question marks over the food industry, and that's one thing I'd like to change. And rightly so, there are definitely. It's definitely out there when it comes to poor sort of practice, really, in the food industry. For us, we want to be completely transparent as a business. Our factory is very different as well. It's got great big glass windows so you can actually see into production and look how food is made, because we want to be completely transparent. Mm-hmm. You know, there's nothing to hide in the food industry, and it's a great industry to be in basically.
So where Heck is in Yorkshire, that's at HQ.
Yeah.
Do you have your own pigs and farms there?
We used to. We started using our own pigs, but because of the scale production we're at now, we use all British pork, really, from farms we trust. So.
And so when you see labels like free range or what do all these different things mean? What are happy pigs really?
Happy pigs, to be honest with you, it's a tricky conversation because all our pork is sort of outdoor bred. And that doesn't mean they spend the whole time outdoors. Mm-hmm. That means they spend most of the time outdoors and they come inside during the winter, where they'd rather be, to be honest with you, rather than outside in the elements. So they'd rather be inside in straw barns, really, because that's a happy pig. We come from a pig farming background, so we know what a happy pig is.
Yeah.
When it comes to sort of free range and organic, we would love to be. I mean, I think that's a great way to farm animals, but the trouble is that the cost of the sausages would be ridiculous. We'd have to charge £7 for a pack of sausages rather than £3. It's just not viable. And there isn't a lot of organic and free-range pork out there, to be honest with you, to meet the demand that we have.
So you're doing the best you can.
We do, absolutely, yeah.
Is Heck a fun place to work?
Yes, I would say so, definitely. We're definitely... We turn over £30 million, but we're not corporate in any shape or form. There's a real family feel to the business, and my wife works in the business, and my brother works in the business, and his wife works in the business, and there's families that work within the business, which is really nice to see as well. So, no, we do things very differently, and we're not corporate at all. We don't really... I'm the sales director of the business, but we don't really believe in titles and official things like that. We're very fun, and the great thing is you can come up with an idea. You can work in the kitchen or you can work on the production floor. If you come up with an idea, we encourage them to share as well, because nothing's a bad idea until it is, really. So a lot of our chicken dippers, for example, they came from the production floor. That was an idea someone had, a member of staff, and we made it reality and got it onto the shelf. So it's quite a great thing to do, really.
Yeah, it's fantastic. I think everybody entering a company wants to feel they've made a difference or an impact.
Yes, absolutely. And you can start from the production floor and work your way up. That's the great thing about it as well. I mean, I'm lucky. I've worked in every aspect of the business. But, you know, we've had guys who've come in and just come to pack sausages for a summer, and now they're running their own departments, which is great to see. You can actually really involve in the business by working your way at the bottom. And it's fantastic. We encourage it, actually.
And when I look at the Heck website, and there's a lot of information on there, which I love, you know, it's not just we're selling sausages. There's also advice about how to live well and maybe what's trending in the food industry. You seem a very healthy bunch. There's lots of outdoor activities.
Absolutely, yeah. No, we're lucky where we are as well. So we're based Junction 50 on the A1. I don't know if any of you have driven past that, actually. You can see it from the roadside if you're ever driving that far north. And there's a lot of rural... fields and all that stuff and woodland behind us as well. So if we can, we encourage all members of staff to join in and go for a little lap around the fields or whatever.
I know.
And it's great, yeah. And we're sort of a lifestyle brand as well, really. You know, fitness and being healthy is sort of at the centre of everything we do. Of course, we make, you know, the traditional pork sausage as well. So again, taste and food and all that stuff's really important. But we try to build a sort of a healthy lifestyle, of course.
Everything in moderation.
Yes.
Now, why would they have seen your factory from the road? Has it got a great big sausage sign? Is it
like
the sausage
of
the north?
Yeah, you can't miss it. It stands out like a sore thumb, really. So, yeah, great big sign saying Heck in pink letters. You can't miss it.
Why not? Of all the products you have, what's your favourite sausage?
Oh, God, I get asked that a lot. It depends, really, actually. I love our chicken sausages. I mean, I eat them daily. But yeah, I'm a sucker for bangers and mash as well, so traditional pork. So I love everything we do, to be honest with you. I wouldn't sell it. I've got to love everything we do. I even love our vegan sausages. I mean, you know, they're no substitute to our meat ones because it's very difficult to replicate a 97% pork shoulder using pea protein. It's very tricky. But we do a fairly decent job. So they all taste great.
Now, talking of taste, a big part of your job and your staff's job is regular taste tests. Mm-hmm. So for anyone who hasn't done them, how do those kind of things run and how often would you do them?
Daily, actually.
Every day?
Yeah. You do get sick of the size of sausages, but it's a very important part of the job. It's not just, you know, a little snack. It's very good, and we have to be very critical as well. I mean, I'm the harshest critic when it comes to products, and we always argue about, you know, what's been done properly and what has, and this should be better and all that stuff. And it can get quite challenging, really, but... taste panelling is the most important thing because you need to make sure everything you're producing is bang on and consistent as well.
So is it like a blind testing where you don't know what you're having and then people will mark it?
We do a bit of that as well. So if we're doing something a little bit different or we're using a new seasoning supply, we always do a bit of blind tasting, seeing which do you prefer.
Can you tell us about any upcoming flavours or is it all top secret?
Upcoming flavours... Not really. I don't think we've got anything new on development at the moment. We launched our first beef burger in the summer, which was hugely successful. We've always wanted to go into the burger market. That was really successful. We've just launched meatballs as well. We've got some more innovation in vegan coming further down in the year. All the retailers have two ranging windows, if you didn't know already. They have an April one, so a spring summer, and then they have an autumn one in October. So they're the two sort of product resets really in the year. So, you know, you might swap a couple of SKUs for a winter SKU. So you have your barbecue range and you'll swap that for more winter focused SKUs instead.
I see, all these seasons and cycles.
Yeah.
And how is sustainability affecting what you do more and more and more?
Well, it's sort of the front of everything we do, really. You know, now we're getting sort of solar panels fitted on the top of our factory. Again, the vertical farm is a great step forward, and reducing our packaging as well. So we're sort of moving away from card as well. So we've got all our products have card sleeves on, and we're actually looking to do top seal, which you can have sort of the printed sleeve on top, which my wife absolutely hates. But when it comes to sort of reducing our uses in sort of packaging and card, that's the right way to go. So we're actually always trying to do stuff, but we don't want to compromise the brand either. We don't want to cheapen it as well. So it's a fine balance, really. But we're always trying to do our little bit.
So is it all packaged there on site, made there?
Yes.
I mean, even if you've got different producers giving you the meat?
It's not rocket science making sausage, it really isn't. It's very, very simple. So we buy all our meat in, all comes in. So our pork sausage, for example, all comes in pork shoulder. So it's the leanest part. So we use 97% pork, a bit of seasoning, and then it all gets mixed and blended up together and down into the sausage filler. I mean, it's a great, I wish I had a video really to show you. Or you're more than welcome to come and
addictive.
Have a look at the sausage factory, actually. Our doors are always open, so if you're ever passing, please knock on the door. But it's a really simple process. It's not rocket science at all. So we produce everything ourselves, all sleeved and packaged, and we distribute from ourselves as well.
What's the sausage case made of?
So we use an alginate, which is basically seaweed casing. Mm. And the great thing about that is it runs non-stop, so there's no switchovers when you're changing the skins. It just runs all day long, so our machines never stop all day long apart from lunchtime. We used to be in collagen as well, but we found a great inconsistency in that as well, and feedback from our customers, they thought it was too tough, the skins got too tough and all that stuff, and there's no consistency. But then we moved to alginate and skin complaints went away overnight, so really great.
When we were talking earlier about how you left school after A-levels, was it?
Yeah.
What A-levels did you do?
I did business. I did photography as well, which I wasn't very good at all. That was just to fill the time, to be honest with you. I did IT, which I sucked at, to be honest. I was rubbish at IT. But the business side of things, I sort of really understood, having been around family business my whole life.
So even though you didn't go to uni, I bet that stood you in good stead, didn't it?
Absolutely. I think, you know, that was my education, really. Work hard, play hard, that's sort of a family motto, really, and that's just how I've been raised, really.
It's great to have a good work ethic, but I hope you do take a break sometimes.
Yeah, absolutely, you've got to. You've got to find a good balance, really, and I work with my wife, which can be difficult at times, because all we do is end up talking about work most of the time. So finding a balance, but there's people within our business who are married and our sons and daughters on the production floor, so... Yeah, it works well somehow, but I don't recommend it, to be honest with you, if you're not willing to spend that extra time with your partner, but we get on.
It's lovely to meet you and hear your brand story, and I'm sure there are people here who'd love to know more, so if anybody's got questions for Jamie, please put your hand up, and if you could say what you're studying and what uni you're at, that would be really helpful for us all to hear. Anyone raise their hand for a question? Thank you.
Hi, I'm Alicia and I study food policy at City, a university, and one thing that popped up in my studies was the pig farmer crisis that was happening over the past year.
Yeah.
Nobody knows what that is, basically farmers were faced with a lot of work crisis from labour shortages.
Yes.
From labour shortages in their farm, and they were faced with basically having to potentially kill their pigs, not being able to sell them. So I was wondering if Hex had a problem with that and how they've been managing it.
Yeah, no, that affected us massively, to be honest with you. There was a massive positive to begin with, because basically there wasn't the supply out there, so it drove the price of the pork up, and it was all due to labour, as you said correctly. there wasn't enough people to actually produce the pork, which is a massive issue. And then it was just drought and fluctuating the price. There was too many pigs that drove the price down, and we were sort of benefiting from that. Mm. But then, of course, it soon balanced itself out, and there's a shortage of pork, and that just completely changed it for us as well. So the cost price of pork went through the roof, and that's been really, really challenging for us. And this is something that's not new. Over the past year, this has always happened. The price of pork has always gone up and down, and this is something that always will continue, whether it be swine flu or labour shortages. This is just an industry problem we have to be faced with, really. And it's about really having to manage that. You have to have a really good relationship with your customer, and not be too scared to ask for an extra couple of coppers, basically, for extra support, and they're willing to help you out on that, really. So this is an issue that will always be around. And it's not just pork, we deal with chicken as well. So that, again, has the same issues.
You picked a tough business.
It is a tough industry, it really is. There's always something. In the past 12 months, especially with the conflicts in Ukraine, it's been everything all at once, and it's been trying to manage that. It's been very, very difficult.
Anybody else got a question for Jamie? That was such a great question.
It was.
Thank you. Let's go for this person in the navy blue.
Lawrence Truman, University of Worcester. Obviously, you can cook sausages in...
sausages in very different ways, in a casserole, barbecue. Mm. Do you do all the testing of the different ways, or do you just assume a sausage is a sausage?
Well, we always... when we do our taste panels, we always tend to grill them. We always think that's the best way to cook a sausage, underneath the grill. Frying is always good, but I wouldn't recommend doing it in the oven, because that tends to dry out the meats very quickly. So always grill or fry, that's what we recommend on the back of our packaging. We always try them in new recipes. We've got an MPD kitchen as well. We use lots of our recipes for social media and all that stuff. So there's a lot of ways you can cook a sausage, that's for sure. So if you go on our recipes, I think we're releasing a book, actually, next year.
I'm a big fan of a sausage tray bake with halloumi slices myself. That's my little tip. We've got another question from the front here, please. Yeah,
so Simon Lara from the University of West London. Just one question on what happened to your production when you got listed by Tesco. Did you have to scale up a lot to meet the demand? Or?
Yeah. To be honest with you, we had to employ a lot of friends and family overnight, really, to sort of fulfill the demand. A lot of late nights to fulfill orders. So, yeah, we created a monster overnight, really. And staffing and production and scaling up has been really challenging. There's been lots of late nights. Overnight it came from a small batch to markets at weekends to fulfilling lorries. But we're very blessed. We've had some great family members and friends who've helped us on the way. But we've got a great team now who've been with us since we started. And 80% of our production workforce are Eastern European. And the reason why I say that is English people don't particularly like working in factories, and that's just a fact. So without Eastern Europeans, we wouldn't be here today, that's for sure. And we're very, very grateful. So, they're sort of the backbone of our business.
So on that note, what happened when Brexit came along?
We're lucky, actually, because a lot of our workers are sort of second and third generation in this country, and they've made lives here. Mm-hmm. So we had a few who went home and found work in Germany because there was better pay over there as well, but we've had a lot of people who stayed, so we're still quite lucky. And there was a big debate recently about the country letting in too many unskilled workers from the EU. And I say, well, without the food, without these guys working through production, you wouldn't have anything on your shelves. And that's a fact. There's a lot of jobs out there, but English people don't like working factories, and that's just a fact.
Any other last questions for Jamie from the floor? Thank you, in the middle.
I'm Lily, and I do food science and business at the Uni of Reading. And I was just wondering, have you ever thought about expanding into like the retail, kind of like opening their own like HEC restaurant or anything?
Mm. Great question.
Yeah, it's a good question. I'd love to. I really would. Yeah, we did look at it briefly, actually, opening a sausage sort of sausage chain, like a hot dog chain. Food service industry is a tough one. It's something we always want to crack into. But further down the line, that's definitely something we'd like to look at.
Hands up here, who would visit a Heck sausage shop?
Yeah.
I would definitely go.
Yeah, absolutely.
Any other questions? Another one from the front.
I'm Georgie. I'm studying nutrition at St Mary's University.
Hiya.
And I was just wondering, I don't know if you have to do this in businesses where you're selling food products, but did you have to consult a nutritionist or a dietitian and like recommendations for what was sort of acceptable to sell to the public?
Yeah, no, absolutely. We send everything off that we produce for nutritional information, so we don't do that in-house. We can do it in-house through a little system we've got, and a little computer system we can actually do our own testing, but when it comes to sort of supermarket regulations, you have to send everything off for nutritionals to make sure it's bang on. And then, you know, to call something low fat has to be under 3%, for example, so all our chicken sausages are under 3% fat to meet that sort of health mark, and you can actually put that on the front of the packaging as well.
Yeah, I think we live in a society where I'm always shocked by how many calories things have and how much fat there are. When I was a chef, I would do lots of recipe creation, and sometimes I would give those to a nutritionist and she would come back with all the facts and figures, and I'd say, no, come on, my chocolate cake, one slice, 3,000 calories. But yeah, we should all be eating healthier, really, is the message. Yeah. And there's definitely work out there for you. Any other questions? Okay, well, with that, Jamie, thank you so much for joining
us. Thank you for having me. It's been
thank
great.
You for sending me all your delicious sausages. And welcome to London. Have a nice day out.
Thank you very much. Thank you.
It's me again. So that was Jamie, a remarkable person who is the embodiment of how hard work pays off. It was clear chatting to him that everybody who works at Heck is valued and treated well, and their ideas are heard. It's very collaborative, and it sounds to me like the kind of company we would all love to work at these days. Starting your own food and drinks business is tough, but it's not impossible, especially if you've spotted a gap in the market and you believe in what you're doing. There are many ways to do this for free, from online surveys to canvassing friends, family and neighbours. When you're looking for the stressful bit, the money, again, there is so much funding help out there now. I encourage you to go to the Food Matters Live website and search for food entrepreneurship under the Careers and Courses tab. There you'll find loads of hints and tips about how to start your own startup and get the money. Thank you so much to Jamie for his utter honesty and his time, and thank you for listening. Till next time, goodbye.